Coming in hot, 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 Lisa shares her financial tips and strategies to build wealth, have fun with finances, and be debt-free without having a restrictive budget. From bankrupt to millionaire, Lisa knows what it's like to feel as if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Her unconventional money multiplier system is the very wealth protocol that enabled her to retire 2.5 years early, pay down $100,000 of debt in 6 months, and move to her dream home at the beach. Hey, hey, welcome back to this episode of iDate Money. I'm your hostess, Lisa Drennan. And today we have the amazing Melissa, a certified professional coach through Coactive Training Institute and associate certified coach through Now Coaching Federation. Well, born out of a passion to help others thrive and loss. Her specialty is helping move through the discover what they want most now and here today and for sharing all the wonderful things.
Hi. Hi. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yeah. I like the name, the Wishbone Wellness. How did you come up with that name?
Well, Wishbone, I think, you know, Wishbone, the way that it's spelled is unique because Wishbone, it's spelled with a Y instead of an I. So that came out of just that a Y looks like a wishbone. So I thought that was just kind of a nod into a way that people would remember it. But Wishbone itself just came from childhood. You know, it came from this magical idea that with saving the wishbone, as my mom did when we grew up, and having that game of pulling it apart and seeing with my siblings, like who was going to win out on that. It's like anything was possible. And I thought that was just, it really spoke to me in the way that I work with people because, you know, we are trying to get people really clear on what their values are and what their hopes and wishes are, but like that knowing that those things can become realities. It's like, we can create what we want. We can manifest what we want. And then, so that's the wish part, but then wish and then bone is kind of like represents structure a little, mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, so what do we dream and what do we want? And then how do we create the structure around that to create that? So, and you know, just because, like, you know, our bones and our body create the structure. It's like, how can we do what we do without our structure? So
I love that. That is such a great visual, and what so much meaning behind it. I remember the turkey bone. My brother and I used to fight over all the time. And after I got older, I realized which end of the stick I wanted. Which end of the bone did I want? Because I knew which one was weaker. Yeah. And then I would always win.
Yeah, and I think there's something amazing. There's something about the magic of childhood, because then, like back when you were like 7, 8, 9, it's like, what do I want? Anything, a pony. I don't, you know, it was like, you didn't think about the restrictions or all of the, and so I think now, and then, you know, what happens to us, the conditioning that happens to us over time, you know, I think a lot of people are like, I can't. And, you know, the kind of work that you're in and the kind of work that I'm inspired to do is that, like, we absolutely can, there's a way, you know, and trying to really nurture people into that process of what is the way that we can make this happen for you, you know?
Yeah. And absolutely. And there are so many conditionings, you know, that we grew up with that were, you know, taught, not really from watching our family members do things a certain way and then hearing them repeat the same things over and over again. So when we get to our wishes for money, what was one thing that you wished for when you were a kid that involved money? Because everything involves money, right?
What did I wish for a kid that involved money? I think, because I think as a kid, I was just like, we need money for things. You know, it was kind of like, luckily I was taught early on that yes, absolutely, we do need money. But I think for me it was always kind of something very performance art related, you know. So I think it was like, I want to be on stage, I wish for, you know, I want to. And I think those ideas felt very dreamlike, but they, in order to do that, like, you need, how do you make money doing that? You know? And so I think that that was always this, like, I was met with a very conservative father, or not met with, I was born with a very conservative father. So I was met with that, like, okay, you know, an actor, a performance artist, let's get down to business here. You know, so it was very like,
that's not gonna make you that money.
We're not doing that. You know, we're doing something. What can we do that's like real? And I was like, that's real. So
right.
you can imagine it started early, you know, to try to like, what's the sensible thing to do?
Yeah. And I think a lot of us grew up with that. Like, you know, you need to have the sensible thing. I know when my kids were little, I would say, what do you love to do? Get a job doing it and then learn to live within the means of that job. Because some jobs pay more than others. And, you know, but if you love what you do, it's not work. It makes it so much fun. So what are some of the things that you did to get you into the position that you are now that helped you grow your money, helped you multiply your money?
I think it was being kind of always living pretty conservatively with money. So built a career in a certain, you know, mine happened to be marketing advertising, you know, built it, and that took me for a couple of decades until I realized that there was something out of alignment. But during those decades, I was a saver, you know, I was just a little saver, a little investor. You know, I feel like I kind of make that motion because it's just like, I just feel like it's like this little, you know, worker bee who's just like, okay, I'm going to save everything I can. I'm going to, you know, not be in debt. So I really felt like, I think I was that person that just, as much as I could consume in terms of educating myself, I was like, I'm such a rule follower. I'm going to follow all these rules. And like, hopefully that's just going to like leave me at some point in my life sitting where I can have freedom. I guess like I can have a little freedom to make some choices. And I think that's what it ultimately did. It gave me a little bit of a cushion to be able to now sit and say like, okay, what is the work of my dreams? What is the kind of work in the world of my dreams that I want to do? I got clear on that. And that, you know, that's like, okay, that's going to take some time now to make some money, you know, like this is, so I kind of, I guess, created myself a little cushion to be able to have that while I build this other, you know, hopefully beautiful empire that like serves, you know, I wanted to get away from something that didn't feel as service oriented for me and into something that did. But just like what you just said, it's like, okay, how do we monetize this? How do we do, you know, now I found the thing I love. All right, now how do I make money doing this? You know, and so I've been learning so much in the last several years about that, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, that's like not a world I came from or understood or knew. So I've really had to like learn from the masters and like, and bring in support to teach me how to do it, because I have a lot to learn.
And it's so important to get that support and to help you, you know, with the shortcuts, because so many people try to do it on their own thinking, well, I'm not going to invest in that. I'm not going to invest in that coach because then I'm not going to be able to, you know, have this money. And they can't part with their money because they don't see the ROI and the end results, right? You know, especially with someone with your skill set of marketing background, like marketing is huge in the entrepreneurial world. I came from 9 to 5. I retired from a Social Security Administration after a 30-year career. And I was just talking to my coach today before our call, and we were like, I'm like, you know, all these things that you're, you know, sharing with me, I did that in my 9 to 5 job. She's like, yeah. And she used to be a bartender. And she's like, all the things I did behind the bar, I applied to sales. And when I first started, I wasn't really good at it. But then when I realized I connected the dots, it's like, boom. And I'm like, it's that simple. And, you know, so we get into this 9 to 5 mindset and it's like, wait a minute. It's just that we had a boss that gave us the SOP and said, this is what you do every day. But now we get to be our own boss. We get to be our own salesperson, our own marketing, our own this and that, especially solopreneurs out there. So knowing that you know this and you've invested in yourself, what's the most scariest investment you've made and that's helped you get to be where you are today?
I think the scariest investment has been coaches, which are so key. Like they end up, you know, like I've hired it through, you know, as you mold and grow and, you know, you see like, oh, I needed a coach for this. And that's what got me to even knowing that I was out of alignment. Like, so that was like some real spiritual work that we were doing in the way of like, who am I? What's wrong? Why am I feeling like nothing feels right now? That. And then it was like, okay, got clear on that. Now I know what I need to do with that. Then it was like the next mentor or coach that would help me really, you know, show me how to build a business, you know, how to see, just like what you just said with seeing how marketing, you know, the 20 years of marketing, why do I feel like I can't do that for myself? Oh, turns out I can. It's just like, I was like, you know, I was structured in a way of working around it as one role, but now I'm like, oh, I get to make all of the decisions. This is so different and also not frustrating. It's actually fun. Like that was a real eye opener. Like it's actually fun. And I think I'm getting off of the question that you asked me. Oh, the best investment, right? I think you said like, what was the best, or the scariest thing that you did for your business. And I think it was really investing in coaches, people who could lead and show me. And then also various workshops. I think workshops are like, there's so many wonderful workshops out there. And I think when you can look at them all and assess, because they're also a real investment, like they're a real investment in yourself and your business. And sometimes they can feel like, oh my God, that's a big price point. But what I've learned is that when you go and you do the, not only is it this, what you're learning from each workshop or retreat or whatever it is that is, it's also these relationships that you meet and people. I mean, I don't know how many times I've met people at some of these that are on a similar path and we collaborate and now we're building like something together, you know, and that's just been like, those are in that, that's worth its weight in gold, just that, you know, these relationships, because out of that become these building tools for offerings that are just unique and creative to, you know, the two individuals who came together. You know, it's like, ooh, how
yeah.
And it's so exciting. I think that's just the other thing. You're just like, I don't remember being this excited about the work that I do for many years. And it's that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love those networking events where you get to connect and collaborate with others and really expertise and say, hey, you know, this might be a good partnership, you know, down the road. And if not, it's definitely a good referral base as well. Just expanding your territory, because, you know, that's what we love to do, is we like to connect and to refer. And when you think about your money story, what was some of the things that you grew up believing? You said earlier that your dad was a conservative and that you were on a quest to save and invest, and you had to have much money before you would do the next step. So what else shaped you into your money beliefs? Like, if you can summarize your money story in 1 minute. Tell us your money story.
Yeah, the money story is conservative father. So I was taught really simply and clearly, stay out of debt, balance your checkbook, you know, those really simple tools. So it was like, I feel like even before I was 13 years old, I was like, I know how money works. I know that you can't spend what you don't have. I know. So that was a tool that was very, you know, early on. But then with that also came a little bit of a scarcity mindset or a fear mindset. Like we didn't, it's not that we had a household that didn't have what we needed, but I think there was always this like mentality of like, well, we can't, like my dad had a lot of control and fear around it. Like, where was it coming in? And so I think I grew up with that too. So it's kind of this twofold thing, you know, it's like, I feel like I was taught to manage it well, but then I also am like, there's never enough, can't spend, have to, you know, so now I see that really coming up in the way that I'm managing my business, and I have to work on it really hard. It's something that I noticed, you know, my energy around money.
Oh yeah. Our mindset around money is so powerful. I mean, I like to say we get to captivate our thoughts because they dictate the action. They dictate the results that we're going to get because of our thoughts that are wired so deep in our subconscious. It's just like blinking our eye. And then before you know it, we have this mess with money and we're like, hey, money, why aren't you paying attention to me? Come over here. Or we're giving money the silent treatment, right? So when you think about your... When you think about your wellness with money, I mean, money is health, right? I've seen health is wealth is health. You know, self-care is dating money, you know, when you, if you want
self-care,
get right with your finances, everything else live on that.
Yeah. Wait, so the question was, what's your perspective on, sorry, I think it just cut out.
Health as well. I know we're having a little bit of issues with our internet today, but we're getting through it because every time you freeze, I can still hear you.
Okay.
And maybe vice versa. The wealth is health, health is wealth. We hear a lot of times that, you know, to take care of your finances is a part of self-care. Because we know a lot of times people get all stressed out. You know, their money story is scarcity mindset. There's not enough. I feel like I'm living check to check. I've come across many six-figure coaches who don't have six figures in the bank. They literally just spend all the money that they have. So what's your perspective on health is wealth, wealth is health?
Well, what I just that everything is connected is that like when you're, I mean, I work with people in a little bit more of a specific way, as do you. I mean, you know, you're like, this is, you're working with people around their finances. And what I find is that no matter how you market yourself as how you work with people or how, or who, what your specialty is and what your passion is for working with people, it all comes up in the, what, like, it's like you start to, like, I work with people around, you know, life transitions and things that are going on, major transitions that are making them feel out of alignment. So let's get you back into alignment. Well, in all of that, it's like your mental health, your physical health, your financial health, your familial health, you look around your environment. Like, what are you living amongst every day? Like, where are you feel, you know, so it's that whole range of every part of our lives that seems to come up even when you start touching in on one area. So even though people might have goals of like, you know, what are your top three goals that we're going to work on for the next 6 months? It's like inevitably we get into other areas, you know? And I think so the interconnectedness of everything is what I see anyway. It's just like, just how, you know, when we're stressed out or feeling major grief in our life, it's like the physical ailments that start to happen. You know, And it's like, that's weird, you know, that things get manifested that we, you know, have to work out. And financial stress is the same way. It's like, I can only imagine all the stories you have, you know, with people you work with.
Yeah. So many stories, but I do find similarities in all of their stories, regardless of how much money they do have. They all feel the same way. Like, will there be enough?
Yeah.
And that underlying concern, you know, even if you are a multimillionaire, your concern is, will it last me? Will it last me? Will I be able to pass it on? Will there be a legacy? And my mother-in-law's boyfriend recently passed away, and we didn't even know it, but he had over $3 million and he gave over $1.5 million to Alzheimer's, which was fantastic. And there was, you know, he was a bachelor, so there wasn't any family other than a cousin and some friends that he left some money to. And I thought, wow, he had all of that money and never enjoyed it. He complained constantly that there wasn't enough, and he lived very frugally. For himself too was, and I thought, okay, well, good for you. You know, you buy yourself a Cadillac, but money that you and calculators out there that help you project. Like, if I have $1 million and I draw $2,500 a month, I get to have it until I'm 90 years old based on this average interest rate, right? And the average interest rate has been around 8%. You know, it's actually been really high in this last quarter, but we don't do that. People don't take the time. It's just like the health industry, right? We don't take the time to stop and feel our feelings or to say, oh, well, I want to lose weight, but I don't lose weight. It's like paying off our debt, you know, and most people have debt and we don't pay off our debt. We think we can do it on our own, but we don't, because it's like trying to lose weight on your own. Yeah. You know, you can do it on your own, but you don't, because you have all these, this emotional ties to it, the story that you tell yourself. So when you think about, like, you know, your dad said to be debt free, did you adhere to that? Or you, I mean, other than your mortgage, everyone accepts the mortgage as not being debt, which I find funny, but it's okay.
Right.
So did you adhere to that? Did you stay debt free, or did you end up getting into a credit card crunch because you were being defiant like some people are?
No, I did. I adhered to that. I guess that it's like what he did works because it was just like pounded in. And I really, that's something I've stuck with my whole life. I think, I mean, I can't think of any time I've ever had debt. And I think it's like, I think it was just that respect and the way I saw him operate that I was like, okay, Dad, I'm listening. He's passed now, but I'm like, Dad, I'm listening. But also on that flip side, I have to work every day against that other mindset of that, like, okay, do I have an, can I spend? Like, do I, you know, so there's that, like, I can feel that fear that sometimes comes up for me. And so I work on that all the time too. And I think that it's, what was I going to say about the big lesson in so many parts of financial health for me, at least in my story, has been this journey to trusting of yourself. And I think it's like what you see in a lot of people when it comes to trusting that your body will work for you when it comes to physical health, trusting. I think that it's like every other month, it feels like another eye-opener of like, darn it, wake up, Melissa. Can't you trust you trust yourself? Like you've gotten yourself this far. You know how to do it. You're gonna do the next legacy part of, you know, from here to the day that you're not here anymore. You've got you. And so, and it's so funny too, the irony of like, you know, we coach people and we're talking about that stuff with them all the time, but you really have to take it in for yourself sometimes and remind
Oh,
yourself that it's
definitely.
like, I've got me. I've got me, you know.
Yeah. Well, we have blind spots that we can never see. Thankfully, our coaches can see them. And I always
Oh my
say,
gosh, it's so
don't
true.
invest in a coach who doesn't invest in themselves because what are
Yeah.
you getting? You know, you're getting a has-been, right? Somebody who's not willing to invest. Going to deliver results that they have as effectively when they are investing in themselves, you know, whether that be, you know, through a coaching program or through anything else, even taking me time, like, you know, really doing their own program. There's a lot of coaches out there that will, you know, give results or will share a program that they don't have the results in, or they got them so long ago and they're not implementing their own program and they don't understand that it evolves, it changes, and it's a daily practice. So many people
For
think
sure.
that it's one done, but especially when it comes to our money story, there's so many layers that we get to dive into, peeling back the emotionals, especially with the spending patterns that we have or the lack of spending patterns. Like if you're afraid to spend your money to travel or to invest in yourself, what are you depriving yourself of, and how is it affecting other aspects of your life? So, has
So
that been a
true.
question you've ever asked yourself?
Yes. And it's like it's also my partner. He and I, it's like it's the topic of all of our, you know, when we're disagreeing on something, you know, it's he has a little bit more of that, you know, like we're able to do it, let's do it. And there's sometimes where I am in this, you know, conservative, like, but I'm building something over here. I have to maintain this, you know, the savings that I'm like kind of like my cushion and there's just and you can, you know, I mean, we as coaches too, we know what these security blankets are. We can see right through them, but I can't stop myself sometimes because it's that ancestral training from decades. And I mean my dad got it from his parents and his parents. And you know, so it's like breaking the pattern, you know, of living, really living your life fully and not being in a prison of your own, you know, financial rules, I guess. But while also being a smart businesswoman, you know, because I'm learning that. And maybe there's a little bit of that, like as a new entrepreneur, you know, I have about, you know, 3, 4 years under my belt of the entrepreneur. And so it's new. It still feels like, and it's a learning curve. It's a beautiful learning curve, but it's a learning curve.
It is, and it's a frustrating. It can be a frustrating learning curve as well, because, you know, I mean, we've all started at zero, and we all have those 0 months. We don't hit our goals, and a lot of times we get into this emotional roller coaster because of that. And so, when you think about the security that you built for yourself, what helps you to stay focused and to move forward so that you continue to do what you love to do?
I maintain a every other month I meet with my financial advisor You know, and it never used to be like that. You know, it's only since you know, Wishbone, I've launched Wishbone. But now it's like, and that's just, he and I both get the understanding with each other that creates a big security for me, that I'm constantly like looking at, like, you know, and I kind of sort of need his perspective. Like, this is how I'm operating. Is it still good? Am I still, you know, he's like, you're good, you know? And I think, you know, I trust him and then I trust myself. And I think that that's been a major part of what's kept me to stay in the intention and in the passion and in the goals of, you know, what you're trying to change for people, rather than getting stuck in this, okay, like, am I, you know, if it was 1 month of not meeting goals, or several months of not meeting goals, it's like seeing the trends of how, like, the world, like what's going on in the world, what's going on with people, staying connected to your industry, staying, for me, it's like the mental health and like grief modalities and loss and different ways to support people. It's just, when I can do all those things for myself, keep myself educated, and then keep myself balanced, I feel like gold. I feel like, okay, you know, everything, it's working. It's, the train is on the track. We're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so important to have a strong foundational, financial foundation when you go into business. And a lot of business owners, especially ones that I work with, they start off their business with no plan. I'm like, wait a minute, you have a business plan, you have a marketing plan, but you don't have a financial plan? What's up with that? So what is, yeah, the best advice that you've received that helped you get to the next level in building your financial plan?
You know what, this is going to sound real simple, but it was something that my best friend started her business over a decade ago. And I remember when I was just starting mine, and I was, you know, pulling in all, even just, there's so much administrative things to get your business up and running, as well as the financial. And I remember, you know, my local SBCA, Small Business Association, it was one of those, I was like, wait, there are people there that can help you. And she was like, yeah, just like, you have to go to a meeting, and then they will set you up with a coach. And then, and while I didn't work with this coach for, like, you know, years or months or years after, it was, he had a lawyer, he had a law degree background, he had a business background, and he was able to just sit with me. We did about six sessions together, and it was life-changing in the, cause he had all of the, he's like, this is it. We're going to go through your financials. We're going to set you, you know, just things that I hadn't thought I needed to do yet. I was in this, like, I don't need to do that yet. I'll get there. And he's like, start it now, start it now. And that was a free resource in Los Angeles County, where I am, you know. And so I think if people just remember that there's sometimes these free resources that they can utilize locally that can help them, it's something to think about, you know. And then, of course, you know, pulling in various coaches, I mean, people like yourself, people who are, you know, maybe business coaches, financial coaches, whatever those areas, recognize where you aren't strong. I think it's really important. Like, I know where I'm strong, but I know these areas are not my area. Pull in help. Right. It is the best, yeah, most important investment you can make.
Yeah. And it's so important to have that strong foundation in all aspects of the business, you know, when it comes to the marketing, the sales, the financials, you know, the business strategy, because if it's not all put together, you end up, you know, most businesses will close within the first 5 years, and most of them don't ever realize a profit. And I love working with my clients because they get to make a profit from day one, you know, and they get, yeah, to multiply their money from day one. And, you know, they look at me like, what do you mean? I thought I had to wait 5 years to see a profit. Like, no, you get to have a profit the first quarter and you get, yeah, to cut yourself a paycheck the first time that you receive, you know, your first client or your sell your first product, whatever it is that they're doing, you know. And it's so just amazing. So important.
I mean, my shoulders just, like, when you're talking about that, they just kind of go down. So, like, to be able to give somebody that, you know, the way that you can offer them that, I mm-hmm. mean, that's such a major part of all of this. I mean, it's the single one thing I think that just stops anybody in their tracks from even pursuing it, whatever mm-hmm. it is that they want, is that they're just like, financially, I can't, I just right. can't, you know. And you're here to tell them that there, we can make a plan, and yes, you can, you know.
Yeah. It's like, and it's that simple. Yeah, it is that simple.
Yeah,
we do. We keep going through that. We keep going through that old record player, you know. Remember record players?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. I love my
I think if you remember which bones, you have one. I love it.
Totally.
My kids started calling him vinyl. I'm like, what's a vinyl? And then they showed me. I'm like, oh, a record player, a record. I know what a record is. They're like, Mom, it's a vinyl. Call it a vinyl. I'm like, whatever. We had 45s.
That's back. Like the hipster new way of saying it. Yeah. You're like, I know.
Yeah, you guys ever hear of 45s? They're like, no, I go Google it.
Oh my God. Google. I think the Annie musical was like the first record I ever had. And it was like, I couldn't stop. That's so funny.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And me too.
8-track. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that wisdom with us. It was wonderful. Tell us a little bit. You said a little bit about who you work with. We know about your program. Can you just give us a little bit more into that? Who specifically do you work with and how do you help them?
Yeah. I work with people around transitions and loss but transitions and loss and grief, you know, it's the single experience and emotions that nobody in, you know, no human experience is going to escape in life. So it can encompass a lot of things. And so what, you know, and I think a lot of people immediately think of you know, bereavement, loss of a loved one. But and that's also what I work through as well. My background is in grief group with a local nonprofit here. So that's where I'm passionate. But there's also this area that people don't really think of when it comes to this type of work, which is kind of like that loss of self. There's loss of a loved one, but then there's this loss of self. And when I say that, that's kind of this where empty nesters, let's say, mm-hmm. retirees, people that are like these major shifts have happened in their life. They're in a different phase of life and they're a little bit like, now what? I don't understand. You know, I don't know what it is. I've lived my whole existence for these people, say if it's like the empty nester experience or retirement. It's like my life with my career or they're just a little bit unsure. It's discovery. Journey to self. What is it that I want to do now for the rest of this time that I have left? So that's one. And even sometimes addictions, you know, there are people who come out of, you know, if they've given up something, you know, whether it's a drug or alcohol thing, or even just food, you know, there's a real, like, who am I now without that thing? Who am I without my children, my job, my addiction? It's a real stuck, confusing time. And it and what I've seen with coaching is that it is this beautiful modality that can get people like, okay, I need to figure out where I am. I'm stuck. Where do I want to go? And then we work to get there. And it's just, and then it's like, it's not one and done, but it's like you work together for 6 months, 9 months. And it's like, that it's like they have all the tools, they have all a whole system plotted out of like what they want, how to get there, and they're good and they feel strong and empowered again and like themselves again, you know. And so that's what Wishbone is. That's what I'm passionate about and the type of people that I work with.
Oh, I love that. That is so amazing. We'll definitely put the links to connect with you in the show notes, and we will get that out there. But really quick, what is the best way to connect with you for our audience?
Yeah. So wishbonewellness.com. So wishbone with a Y is my website, wishbone wellness.com. And then I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. And that's wishbone_wellness on Instagram. Same with Facebook, Wishbone Wellness. I don't know that there's anything else out there. So it's the first thing that'll pop up. And then LinkedIn as well.
Awesome.
That's how Very you can cool. find me.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Melissa, for being here, for sharing your story and your money journey. I know our audience reaped a lot of information and wisdom from you. If you guys are interested in connecting with Melissa and learning more about her Wishbone Wellness, check the show notes for the links. follow her on LinkedIn, friend her on Facebook, and really get to know what she does, especially if you're grieving. Like, you know, we always think of grief as loss of a loved one, but as Melissa said, you lose a part of yourself too. And if you're transitioning from, you know, from your job to retirement or empty nester, I had a great smooth transaction with empty nesting, just to put that out there. But I know some of you, I have some of you clients who just want to cling on to those kids. Melissa could help you with that. Go through the grieving process. And when it comes to your finances, there's a lot of times where we grieve the loss of money or even the gain of money. You know, when someone passes away, you get an inheritance and it's, oh, awesome, I get this inheritance. But then you remember when you get that money in your hand, you're like, well, in order to get this money, that person had to pass away. Yeah. And that's a sense of grief that we ignore because we're really good at ignoring our emotions. And when we work through our emotions, we get to multiply our money. And that may seem counterintuitive.
Yeah, an amazingly smart connection, yes.
Yeah, and it may seem counterintuitive, but it really is. Because remember, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it's what you do with it. Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Get ready to activate wealth. Be the next millionaire with a simple adjustment of your finances using an energetically aligned money multiplier system. You get to build wealth by partnering with money. It's time to have fun with finances. Pick a date, the link is in the show notes, to book your wealth activation call where you will get the one solution to multiply your money. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.